over the past few weeks, we've been looking at a number of important, albeit difficult questions. Questions like, can anyone keep the law of God perfectly? Did God create us unable to keep his law? Since no one can keep the law, what's its purpose? What is sin? What is idolatry? And will God allow our disobedience and idolatry to go unpunished? Now, the answers to these questions are all a little bit unsettling. We like to think of ourselves as good people. We like to think of ourselves as, kind of making it a bit before God and hoping that he'll ignore the times when we get it wrong. But when we really look at the nature of God, his character, and what the word that he's given us has to say about things, we come to realize that we have a pretty bleak picture of our circumstances, and rightly so. When we honestly look at the holiness of God, his upright and just nature, the only response on our behalf is one of an impending sense of condemnation. We stand in the dock, as it were, with no excuse for our sinful and idolatrous nature. And there's an overwhelming sense of impending punishment that awaits us. And this conviction of sin is essential for us if we're to come to realize our need for a redeemer, if we're going to realize that we need someone to act on our behalf, which is kind of what Job has to say a few times, if only I had an advocate, if only I had someone to mediate between me and God, that we recognize that we have no place, no position to be able to do that based on our own standing. And so the question for today is there any way to escape the punishment and be brought back into God's favor? And the good news is that the answer is yes. To satisfy his justice, God himself, out of mere mercy, reconciles us to himself and delivers us from sin and from the punishment for sin through a redeemer. You know, one commentator tells a story of going to see this Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, and he talks about how for the first 5 minutes of the movie, the technician had forgotten to dim the house lights. And so there was an image on the screen, but it was pale and faded and really detracted from the whole experience. And as patrons began to get up out of their seats and go and complain, finally the technician got things right and the house lights were dimmed and the movie really just came to life. Similarly, if we don't appreciate the depth of the darkness that we're in, the darkness of our state as idolatrous sinners, as hopelessly lost and as deserving punishment, then we're really never going to appreciate the vivid life that we have through Christ. And our Christian experience remains one that's pale and weak. The reality is, as Paul says in Romans chapter 5, and we spent a fair bit of time in Romans over the last few weeks because Paul's really taken great care in the book to explain the Christian faith so that, and to lay its foundation. So it says in verse 6 of chapter 5, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, what Paul's saying here is let's understand the darkness of our position and the brilliance of what Jesus has done for us. We go on, verse 9 says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And this is the gospel. This is the Christian faith. What we notice, I hope you've realized as we've been working through the commandments, as we've been, understanding the fact that we are, are sinners, we're idolaters, that we stand before God deserving of punishment, that the law was given in order that we can understand the brilliance of the gospel. We see that the Old Testament is just a story of constant failure, of people unable, unwilling to live up to the right standing, to the standard of the law. And, you know, we realize in our own lives that we're not able to live up to that high standard, and that we really need someone to mediate between us and God. And so when the Holy Spirit brings the law to life, this is when the lights, as it were, are dimmed. We realize the darkness of our condition. We realize the dark place that we're in as these sinful, idolatrous beings. And we see ourselves for who we really are. But in doing so, the gospel can be revealed to us, and we can see Jesus for who he really is and recognize the brilliance of who he really is. In John chapter 1, in John's gospel, he uses some of this imagery, as it were. He says that in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We've got to understand the darkness that we live in before we can really recognize the brilliance of the light of Christ. Reading on in John to from verse 9, it says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And that last statement is a really important one, that Jesus came full of grace and truth. And if we think the gospel is one where it's just a gospel of grace, where God kind of ignores our sin and forgives us and, you know, everything's all right, it's like trying to watch a movie in a picture theater that's fully lit, because it ignores the darkness of sin. It ignores the reality of what sin is, how offensive it is towards God, and how much of a problem it is in our nature, in our lives. See, in order to deliver us from sin and the punishment of sin, God can't just ignore sin. To do so would be to ignore its darkness. The reality is we need someone to redeem us, to pay the price for sin, someone to bear the punishment for sin so that we can go free. And God's justice must be satisfied. Otherwise, he's not a just God. And he did this through the death of Christ in a way that showed us his pure mercy, because he did it. It was nothing to do with us. And so what he did was, through an act of pure grace, of pure mercy, he also satisfied the justice of God and the truth of God. And, it really is an incredible thing. It says this in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will satisfy many, and he will bear their iniquities." And it's an interesting phrase when this prophecy about Jesus and what he's going to go through. And it talks about the fact that it was the Lord's will to crush him. And it's challenging sort of words. There's a Pastor Micah Edmondson who's written this about the passage. He said, "God was pleased to lay his judgment upon the Son in order to save his sinful people. God was pleased because through the cross, the Son of God would be glorified, the people of God would be saved, the justice of God would be satisfied, and the love of God would be revealed. The cross was not a tragic accident. It was God's will, his plan to save his people through the work of the Redeemer and to reveal the immeasurable riches of his glorious grace." So is there any way to escape punishment and be brought back into God's favor? Yes. To satisfy his justice, God himself, out of mere mercy, reconciles us to himself and delivers us from sin and from the punishment for sin by a redeemer. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be trying to understand the redemption of Christ, why he went through the things that he went through, why his nature was what it was, and what it means for our redemption. And we begin to move away from understanding the darkness that we're in to really understanding the brilliance and the light of the gospel of Christ.